What's up? This is Rise Up Radio, Student Voices for Peace on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is Kat, and that you just heard was a track from Michelle Indigiacello's forthcoming album, Comfort Woman. That track is called Fellowship. And we have on the line our guests from Palestine. Just as a quick intro to this segment, in a previous show, as you may recall, we've been covering the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and we spoke with a coalition member of the New York Solidarity Movement for Free Palestine about their summer delegation to the West Bank and the Gaza Strip in the occupied territories of Palestine. Nasser Hussein, a member of the delegation, was shot in Ramallah in the West Bank by a rubber bullet as Israeli soldiers interrupted a parade with tanks and began firing live rounds at the crowd. Nasser's face received 2 stitches, and I believe that we have Nasser on the line.
I think we lost Nasser. We did have him on the line.
The trials and tribulations of calling the occupied territories.
But Nasser is okay, and we're definitely glad to know that he's all right. But we do want to speak with him and hear about the experience. Zahra Khan was one of our guests when we had the previous show, and she was with us in the studio. She's also a part of the delegation. She sent out a report back through an email, and while we try to get them online again, I can share portions of that email. She writes, it was particularly striking to me, and she opened the email saying that report backs are one thing, but the experience is quite another. Our cab got into Ramallah at 3 p.m., where before we could get to the center of the city, we were met by the sight of retreating Palestinians, ages ranging from 7 to 25. 3 of us rushed to the side of the road, where a boy of about 16 years was sitting surrounded by people and a medic, screaming in Arabic. Upon closer look, it could be seen that he had caught a rubber bullet in the left calf. The medic poured Sprite onto his wound. In response to Nasser being wounded, she wrote, "Thank God the bullet only grazed the side of his left temple. Thank God it did not enter his head, because we all know that rubber bullets are lethal too." The email ends with a description of seeing, quote, "A newlywed couple in an open-top car laughing and waving at the bystanders, embarking on their new life together a mere hour after the carnage that had ensued. Life goes on. This episode is nothing new for the residents of Ramallah."
And I think we now actually have our guest, Zahra from Palestine, calling from Palestine on the phone. Zahra, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
Thank you for joining us. Can you describe what you experienced after we just read excerpts from your email report back? Explain what happened when Nasser was hit by a rubber bullet. You observed that. Can you describe it and what happened afterwards?
Myself and 2 other members from the delegation were not actually in the front where he was. He was filming. The people from our delegation were trying to document what was going on. They were closer to the front of, closer to the tanks. I was more down the block with 2 other members, and from where we could see, there were young men crouching with rocks and waiting for the tanks to retreat before throwing them. It was really hell. I don't know how else to describe it. When we see it on television, it doesn't do justice to what it really is.
Zahra, what were the events leading up to the shooting? What were you all attending at the time?
Well, we were supposed to be attending a parade. We came into the city in time for a parade, which was celebrating the 2-year anniversary of the death of Abu Ali Mustafa, who was a martyred leader of Palestinian liberation. And the whole city was, the Thursday before this march was supposed to happen, a 15-year-old was arrested for putting up the flyer for the march. But the whole city had been looking forward to this march. He's considered a hero for the Palestinian people. And the Jeeps and the ATC came into the city in order to disrupt the parade. And actually, 15 youth activists were arrested at 2:30 that same day, at the time that the parade had just started. So the day was one of excitement for people who wanted to celebrate the death of this leader, and also of extreme repression on behalf of the Israeli army.
You're also with Nasser, is that right, Zahra?
Yes.
Can we speak with him for a moment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Nasser. Can you explain what happened to you and what you're doing right now in Palestine?
Well, hi. First off, my name is Nasser. I'm from Palestine, where life for the indigenous population is hell as usual. In only 8 days, I've received enough information to start an encyclopedia on this struggle. Mm-hmm. I can begin with my experience of being shot in the head with a metal bullet coated with rubber. 12-year-olds getting shot the same. Being interrogated for being born with an Arab name, or of soldiers whose guns are bigger than themselves, who are coerced to kill because after 3-year military term they are allowed to escape this so-called democracy.
Nasser, can you describe the shooting? Was it random shooting, or do you feel like it was targeted shooting?
No,
I
am 101% sure that it was deliberate. The reason why I was shot is because I was on the forefront with a camera and I was capturing what the Israelis were doing to the young kids in the middle of the square of Ramallah.
Mayor Bloomberg of New York City was just on a so-called solidarity visit to Israel. He didn't visit the occupied territories. Can you describe what you actually are seeing there and the media is not covering in the occupied territories, even though they are covering such things as the highly publicized visit of Mr. Bloomberg?
Well, that's exactly what me and my delegation are doing over here, capturing footage, capturing stories to come back to New York City area and report what Mayor Bloomberg does not choose to see.
So did you all know that Bloomberg was there recently?
Yes, I've
even
heard.
That day?
Yes, I've heard he was here.
And
I really don't care.
were there any reactions to his visits from the Palestinians you've been in contact with?
Well, I didn't even think they cared, but more of our delegation was surprised because we're from New York City and we feel more, I guess. Well, I don't know. Hold on a second, Zara. Do you want to give your feelings about Mayor Bloomberg coming?
I was surprised to hear that Mayor Bloomberg was going to be in the vicinity, especially because Bloomberg has always unequivocally supported the NYPD. And on our trip here to occupied Palestine, I draw so many parallels between the Israeli soldiers and the NYPD in the brutality, in the institutionalized racism, just in the arrogance with which they carry themselves.
Well, actually, go ahead, Kat.
Sorry, Zara. This is Kat. I was just wondering, I think a lot of people in the U.S., it's hard to get a sense of what life, day-to-day life, is like, what you see, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it feels like, what it's like being there. Could you try to paint a picture of just an average day?
Yeah, like, for example, sorry, before you speak, in that email and what I read, you said at the end the episode is nothing new for the residents of Ramallah. Can you expand on that?
Yes. I had heard somebody say at a JADO report back last year, at a Jews Against Occupation report back last year, that in order to understand the occupation, you have to understand the checkpoint. And I finally understand exactly what that means. People's mobility is completely controlled by an outside army. I feel like if I were to go from my home in Brooklyn to my college in, you know, Midtown Manhattan, if it were to take me 7 hours one way and I were to be spit on by a soldier and rocks were to be kicked at me by, you know, cops wielding machine guns, and if my passport was constantly asked for and if for no apparent reason I would be turned away, you know, at will, that might begin to describe what the day-to-day life is like for the Palestinian people. The mobility is not the only aspect that is unjustly controlled. The water. We went to one city, Jayus, whose water supply is being completely cut off by the apartheid wall, and people just don't have water, enough water. I don't know how else to paint a picture. I guess I just constantly compare it to my life of privilege back in New York City, and there's just no comparison. And amidst all of this, people live. People persist to live. You know, I think the point of the occupation is to just kill the spirits of the people, but these people's spirits are very much alive. People continue to love, to get married, to go to school when there's no curfew. You know, when the school is open, they go to school. They continue to organize and to sell their, you know, operate their businesses and conduct family affairs in their homes, and they just refuse to be killed by this occupation.
We're speaking with Zara Khan as well as Nasser Hussein, live on the line from Palestine. Your delegation recently met with Mr. Arafat. Can you describe how that was and what he said.
The meeting was interesting. He wanted to impart, you know, as an American delegation, we were surprised to see a picture of Rachel Corrie on the wall of his Oval Office. And, you know, when he heard about what happened to Nasser, he pointed out that picture and he explained to us that Rachel Corrie, who was killed by Israeli bulldozers in Rafah not long ago, how she has received the highest honor that the Palestinian Authority could give, the honor of Bethlehem, and that he remains greatly appreciative of the solidarity of the American people with the struggle of the people of Palestine. And the most shocking part of that meeting was his compound. His compound is in ruins. All of the buildings just blown, and it's like taking a dollhouse apart, you know, like ripped completely in half so we could still see half the rooms. And I don't understand, if this is the government of a country and it's, you know, desecrated in this way, there's no legitimacy attached to this, the Palestinian Authority, according to the Israelis, if they're going to just destroy the compound like this. And the president, you know, supposedly the president of this country, he's been housebound for 2 years. I don't understand how any government could pretend to support peace and they treat the government of the other country in such a way.
Zahra, we're going to wrap up, but I'd like you to make a last comment on a quote. Mr. Bloomberg's trip to Israel received a lot of media attention, obviously. The New York Times quoted him saying, "America is not letting the terrorists win at an Israeli hospital." He went on to say, "We are striking back." And that, I think, is what Israel has always done and what I would urge you to continue to do, he said. He said, "You cannot talk when people have a gun to your head. You should not talk when people have a gun to your head. You have to stop the violence first." Like we stated, Mr. Bloomberg didn't visit Palestine. What comments do you have on his one of the statements he made? He actually repeatedly made statements, and when asked about the peace talks, about not being able to stop violence when having a gun to your head.
I would agree with Mayor Bloomberg completely. You cannot talk when there is a gun pointed at your head. If you're a 12-year-old Palestinian child trying to get through a checkpoint to Qalqilya, because both of your parents are from Qalqilya, but you were born in Tilkram, and that's what your identity card says, and you're being turned away at the checkpoint, being separated from your parents with a gun pointed to your head, you're right, you can't talk. All you can do at that point is cry. It's disgusting, the one-sidedness of the support for Israel. I would agree with everything he said, but I would subvert it completely. You have to stop the terrorists. You don't have to give them $5 billion a year in order to maintain an illegal occupation, 35 years and running.
And
the Israeli army is terrorism in full flesh, and we've witnessed this, and there's no excuse for it. And Bloomberg or the United States support for it, there is no excuse for it.
Zahra, this is Kat. Both you and Nasser have mentioned that you're collecting information to bring back to New York. Can we presume that when the delegation gets back, you'll be having some kind of forum or gathering to share what you've learned with people here?
Yes, definitely. We've already arranged report backs before coming here, and when we come back, we will continue to ask colleges, houses of worship, people in their homes to host us so that we could share our, one member of our delegation is a photographer, two members are filming, you know, others are collecting a lot of written information, and this is the purpose. We would like to disseminate this information to as many people as possible. We would like to come on BAI and do a full-fledged report back.
Right. We thank you for taking time out to speak with us today, and thank Nasser, and we're glad to hear that he's okay, and we will be reporting back, definitely having you all on the show when you get back. You guys are coming back in the next week.
Yes, thank you so much
okay.
for having us.
No
thank
problem,
you.
Thanks.
We've been speaking with Zahra Khan and Nasser Hussain on a delegation to Palestine from New York City. You're listening to Rise Up Radio here on WBAI 99.5 FM.